B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We'll start in Spain. I handed this story to my wife and I said, just read the first line of this story.
All right.
And she did. And then she gave me this look like, you got to be kidding me. A woman who glued up her own vagina in a desperate bid to try and frame her ex for the crime has been sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa Gesto accused former boyfriend Ivan Rico of kidnapping her outside her home, later abandoning her while semi-naked after squeezing super glue into her private parts.
I would have used Gorilla Glue.
Yeah, her story began to unravel when investigators uncovered footage from a Chinese-run supermarket showing Gesto buying the glue and a quote-unquote kidnap kit, including knives that she used to harm herself.
Police, this is insane.
Police also discovered the only vehicle filmed passing the spot where she claimed to have been assaulted and then tortured was a council bin truck, not the black car she had been abducted in, that she said she had been abducted in.
Every time she queefs, her bangs lift up.
Wow. Rico spent several days on remand in prison before the attempts by Gesto, who was dubbed the glue liar in Spain.
They're very creative over there.
Where the crime took place became apparent. A court convicted her of two counts of making up a crime and jailed her for 10 years. She was also ordered to pay about $30,000 in compensation.
So surgically, are there any lingering, because you can separate it, but there's got to be long-lasting effects to that, right?
They didn't indicate in the story if she was harmed because of that. Gesto's original lawyer, Amelia Esteban, cut ties with her former client after it emerged that she had tried to frame someone else over the made-up crime.
Man!
A Western Australian woman's $26,000 designer handbag made of alligator skin was confiscated and destroyed by customs in Perth because she failed to buy a $70 permit to allow its importation. Once again, this purse was $26,000.
And they destroyed it?
They destroyed it. The luxury item, which the woman bought from a Saint Laurent boutique in France, was seized by Australian Border Force officials due to trade laws in place to protect wild animals.
For $26,000, I'd just say, okay, I'm not coming through the border. I'd take another flight somewhere else and figure it out.
Yeah,
Or if you just used a Wawa bag, you'd be fine.
Alligator skin items are allowed to cross Australian borders, but are strictly regulated through the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, which aims to protect species that may be exploited by illegal trade.
$26,000.
Demand for reptile skin is bolstered by the fashion industry in the U.S. and Europe, which many animal items remain legal. The importer of the handbag had arranged an export permit from France, but the woman who bought the bag did not apply for an import permit from the Australian Management Authority.
God. It's kind of confusing, right?
Permits are needed for both the exporting country and the importing country. Even though the bag was destroyed, the woman narrowly escaped paying a fine for not having a permit.
Could you just package it up and send it?
Well, that's what I was wondering. But maybe by the time you get to where you are in the whole customs process, there's like a null zone. There's like an in-between zone where you're like, you're a man or woman without a country. You know what I mean?
I don't want to even tell you how many times I've had cocaine seized from my luggage. It's like, how am I supposed to get this through?
She would have been able to keep the bag had she applied for the permit, which would have cost her $70. Federal Environment.
Oh, my God. I'm an idiot.
Minister Suzanne Lay said that it was a costly reminder for importers to ensure that they have the correct permits when importing products into the country.
I'd say so.
Don't you hate when they start handing out those things in the flight? You don't have a pen?
Yeah.
Fill this out. Oh,
man.
A man has blown up part of his house in France. He was trying to swat a fly when it happened.
What, with the lit stick of dynamite?
The man who's in his 80s was about to have his dinner when he became irritated by a fly buzzing around him. So he picked up an electric racket designed to kill bugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And start swatting at it, but a gas canister was leaking in his home and he did not know it.
Well, that's how you find out.
A reaction between the racket and the gas caused an explosion, destroying the kitchen and partly damaging the roof of the home. According to local media, the unnamed man had a lucky escape, sustaining just a burn to the hand. However, the fate of the fly is not known.
I'm so lucky.
The man has since checked into a local campsite while his family repair the house. That's like me going after a fly in the house. It becomes a death mission.
You're a predator.
Yes,
you're going down, you bastard.
Get it. Yeah.
Especially ones that land on the TV while you're trying to watch it.
I will do whatever it takes.
Have you seen the ones that are the, it's basically looks like the stationary tennis racket on a stand that rotates around, you put it in your house?
No.
And it's meant for that zapping purpose? Oh, yeah.
So
Instagram.
Does it draw them into it?
It draws them in because there is a light on the inside of the quote-unquote tennis racket.
Okay.
And once it passes through the field, it zaps them.
I love it.
Yep.
I have to get one of those. A Kentucky driver was pulled over last Wednesday after police officers noticed something was a little bit off about his particular license plate. The driver had apparently thought he could get away with drawing his own license plate. And he did the logo and everything. Yeah. But he forgot one thing. The registration sticker.
Uh-huh.
After more investigation, officers learned that the driver also had no insurance and was driving on a suspended license.
He couldn't draw that stuff as well?
The bizarre interaction took place in a small town in northern Kentucky. The driver's identity was not released. It actually looks, well, if you were at a distance, it might look legit, but he did the fonts of all of the letters.
Beautiful.
And everything. But the Millersburg Police Department offered a pro tip. Drivers hoping to get away with drawing their own license plate, don't forget to draw the registration sticker, is what they posted.
Registration stickers are no longer required in PA, are they?
Yeah, I guess not, right?
No, we don't, like the ones on the license
plate? Right,
yeah. We don't get them anymore.
People were clipping them off. You remember that?
Yeah, they actually take metal
tin snips,
and cut off that corner of the license plate and then take the sticker, yeah.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
Smoke-generating pyrotechnic device used during a gender reveal party sparked the El Dorado fire burning near Eucapa, which has charred more than 7,000 acres.
Yes. How wonderful.
Fire was caused by the smoke-generating pyrotechnic device.
It had to be the tannite, right?
Tannerite? Not sure. It was used in the El Dorado Ranch Park. The fire spread from the park to Eucapa at Ridge, and the governor had declared a state of emergency on Sunday for San Bernardino County due to the fire. Four other counties in California were also under state of emergency due to wildfires amid extreme temperatures. A surgeon behind the wheel of a deadly crash complained that his very expensive watch had been damaged moments after his passenger died. It was claimed in court.
My watch!
Neurosurgeon Jonathan Nakla was allegedly drunk driving when Samantha Thomas died in the 138-mile-per-hour crash in Mobile, Alabama. The court this week heard claims the 36-year-old doctor was more worried about his luxury supercar and timepiece than the young medical student. The hearing was told that Nakla and Thomas, who was his neighbor, had been drinking during the day by the pool at their apartment complex. Shortly after midnight, the pair decided to go and get ice cream. Within 5 minutes of leaving the apartment, the pair were involved in a deadly crash that reportedly caused his convertible to flip over and land in a ditch.
Traveling at 138 miles an hour?
Yeah.
For ice cream?
That's what I was wondering, too. After the accident, Nakla unbuckled Thomas's seatbelt to try to treat her, only to realize she was already dead. Prosecutors allege the analysis of his Audi R8 Spider supercar's computer recorded a top speed of 138 miles an hour. First responders testified at the hearing that Nakla did not seem upset over Thomas's death. The court was reportedly told moments after emergency services arrived, he had heard to complain about his very expensive watch. Neurosurgeon also allegedly made a phone call while inside an ambulance at the scene, telling someone on the phone, "I know, baby, you loved that car." Claims were made at a preliminary hearing to decide whether he should be indicted on a manslaughter charge or not. Memphis police arrested a man accused of calling 911 dozens of times Wednesday, on one occasion offering appetizers to the police dispatcher.
Just looking out for the police dispatchers.
Documents say Hugh Nguyen, how do you say that last name, Casey?
Nguyen.
Nguyen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hugh Nguyen has called 911 approximately 1,171 times since July 15th of this year.
How about pot stickers?
Without having an emergency. Wynn called the department's emergency line 241 times on September 1st alone. and 32 times on September 2nd. During one of the calls, police asked dispatchers if they wanted to buy egg rolls and then hung up.
How does he not get arrested prior to this?
Want to buy egg rolls?
Yeah.
Click. Police found him in a Memphis shopping center and took him into custody.
What did I do?
Police searching for a man they say caught fire after he tried to set another man's car ablaze at a North Carolina convenience store. The arson suspect, who has been nicknamed Smokey, was apparently upset that he didn't get the help that he wanted from a driver, so he set the man's car on fire. Police said Michael Bumpers.
Seems stable.
Asked a customer at a Circle K store if they had a carjack. Customer said no. Bumpers wasn't happy with that answer, so he proceeded to pour an accelerant on the car and set it on fire.
I'm going
to
burn this guy's car up.
The detective said there was no altercation. All the victim stated to the suspect was that he didn't have a carjack. It's unknown why the suspect committed the act that he did.
Is the guy allowed to not have a carjack?
Several people who frequent the convenience store said to be that they'd be on alert until Bumpers, who police say is a regular in the area, is caught.
Well, that's Bumpers for you.
The arson happened in July, but they're still looking for Bumpers. They haven't found him.
I'm sure he lives in the woods.
If you know where he is, you need to call Crime Stoppers.
Bumpers, turn yourself in.
And then one last story. Georgia deputy sheriff learned a lesson about what happens when you don't shut your patrol car door. After serving civil papers at a home, she returned to the vehicle to find a goat munching on a stack of paperwork in her front seat. Sheriff's office posted the video on its official Facebook page. The deputy is saying on the video, get out. Come on, go, get out.
Stop eating that necessary paperwork.
Swatting at the critter, who wasn't interested in moving. The deputy ran back and forth from one side of the patrol car to the other, trying to get the goat to move and stop eating her large stack of paperwork.
What do you want to bet it was Bumper's goat?
She implored the goat, get out, growing more exasperated. But she was still laughing at herself at the same time. In the end, the deputy got their goat and saved most of the paperwork. And there you go. That is what I have in the Bizarre File for you this morning.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.